Hey, you're listening to Naptime Investigations, a true crime podcast. What we're about to discuss is likely disturbing and contains mature content with the use of adult language and the occasional mom joke. Listener discretion is advised.
You can find us on Facebook or Instagram at Naptime Investigations or Twitter at Naptime_podcasts. We're your hosts. I'm Taylor.
And I'm Amanda. We're just a couple of internet mom friends who like to talk about true crime and conspiracies when we can get our children to sleep.
Thanks for being our kind of person and joining us to talk about what normal people think isn't appropriate for small talk.
Losers.
Lame. Well, I hope it all works out that you can just come stay out here.
Forever. Come on, baby.
Forever.
Come here.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be so good. I can't say, oh, you're so handsome.
He's like, what's going on?
Yeah, come on.
He's like, oh, were you talking to somebody else? Do you think that this is how it's going to go?
Come on. You have a lot to say about this. Do you, are those videos of that girl who does art ever on your For You page on TikTok? And then she was like, let me ask my best or my biggest critic. And
it's just like, yeah. Yes, I love it.
Like, meow at the end.
Or they're like,
yeah.
Like, I love it. That's my favorite. I'm like, okay, 10 out of 10 would recommend buying this product now because I need it.
Some of them I'm like, I need to buy this.
Obviously the critic says it all.
Yeah, I need it.
I love it.
Okay. Let's get into it.
So before we get started, do we want to talk about Brianna's case?
Yeah.
The settlement?
Yeah. I haven't done much reading about the settlement. I do know that they reached like a $12 million, I think it was 12.
Yeah, I think it was 12.
Settlement for
civil suit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a... What?
Hi, Bane.
He's happy that there was an agreement. However, arrest the killers.
What is $12 million? I feel like, I mean, yeah, their family will have a nice chunk of change, but it doesn't bring her back. Right. Yeah. It doesn't bring her back. I'd rather have the. I'd sleep better at night knowing that they were off the street.
Fuck yeah.
You know?
And $12 million. But,
and 12 and I would turn it down.
Would be nice.
that's my terms.
Actually, what would be nice is Brianna still being here, but that obviously
considering the circumstances.
Yeah. So yeah, we've gotten really good feedback on that case. So I'm glad.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was very pleased. I saw a couple of people share it on. Snapchat even, like, encouraging listeners and stuff like that. So we really appreciate when our show is shared and obviously getting the word out there, because especially like cases like Brianna's, we want our episodes to be heard. We want, you know.
Yeah, all cases are very important, but stuff like that that's super relevant and there hasn't been justice yet.
There's still movement on this case.
I don't want to say that there's more importance of it, but there's definitely more weight
for sure
that could
there's things that could be done
the outcome. Yeah, so those are always good things
for sure.
So let's talk about a douchey douche.
It's our dingus.
Today's dingus is Tyler Hadley. So he's not the victim, he is the murderer. We're going to be talking about the murder of Mary Jo and Blake Hadley.
Okay.
December 16th. So we're going to talk about Tyler briefly. So on December 16th, 1993, Tyler was born to Mary Jo and Blake Hadley. They lived in Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Okay.
And from the moment that he was born, he was kind of always had the cards stacked against him. He was a preemie with medical issues just from the beginning, and he was tiny, and he was in the hospital for a while. He was less than 4 pounds, like tiny, tiny, tiny baby. I couldn't even imagine having a babe that small. My best friend just had a baby, and he was only like 6 pounds or something. when I met him because he'd lost weight.
So
and I
little.
Was like, oh,
when Maddie, when Maddie was born, she was 6 pounds, 6 ounces and went home less around like five, mid five. Yeah. She was, and she like preemie clothes were big on her. It was so sad.
Yeah. Jacob is still in, he's a month old and he's over a month old now, but he's like a month and a half old and he is still in newborn clothes and newborn diapers and stuff. I'm like, fucking Chase was.
You're like, can't relate. I had a giant human. Yeah. I birthed ripped an 18 hole. Month old.
Yeah, no, ah. didn't have that luxury. Motherhood's great, dude. So Tyler was a tiny little babe. He was less than 4 pounds. Literally, could practically fit in the palm of your hand. He was little. Although he didn't have an ideal entrance into the world, he was born into a loving family who was excited and ready for him, and everything that might come his way with life. His parents adored him, and so did his older brother, Ryan, who actually was like 6 years older than him. Obviously, adding a new baby to a family is a learning curve.
Sure.
But adding a preemie is a little bit more, you know? And...
Well, my 2-year-old, almost 3-year-old, is refused to say her brother's name for the entire first year of his life. Only called him baby brother or brother until the morning of his first birthday. Good morning, Miles. I was like,
what'd you just call him?
Are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me? And now every time when I'm like, it's such a habit now to call him brother or baby brother. Yeah. And she goes, no, his name's Miles. I'm like, girl, I've been trying for months. Such months.
Sassafras that yes. Maddie is.
So she's like, Miles, love what her. Are you doing?
Love Baddie Maddie.
So Baddie Maddie. But yeah, anyways, point of that, transitioning a new baby and into the family is definitely difficult. I get that.
So that's great news. obviously adding a baby is hard, but adding a preemie and like 6 years
I can't even imagine. Yeah.
He had medical issues just from the beginning. So it was all these extra layers that made it a little bit more challenging. And Mary Jo, like most of us moms, actually had some mom guilt from the beginning. Same. She had a baby with medical issues and she couldn't be with him 24/7.
Sure.
And just being a parent is really hard, and having that guilt and those expectations that you feel like you should be with them 24/7 or you need to be at their beck and call over here and there. So adding all those things, it's just hard. But Mary Jo is actually a teacher. And she did go back to work after Tyler was born because he was in the hospital for a little while. So I think I couldn't find definitely that she was staggering her maternity leave or anything. Once again, early 90s. So I'm not super sure if she had maternity leave. But it did say that she had some guilt about going back to work and not being able to be with him.
I get that.
So from the beginning, let's fast forward a little bit. Tyler, during his childhood, was a mama's boy. That is like an understatement.
My son also.
Same. Dude, these boys.
These boys, that's for sure.
I can't even go there. Don't have the energy for it.
It's exhausting.
So to say he was a mama's boy was definitely an understatement. He was like legit up her ass all the time.
Oh my God.
I wrote same.
Literally same. Are we talking about Miles and Chase?
That's what we're talking. Hopefully not, because I mean, we're talking about murder eventually. But
you know, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Our boys are for sure mama's boys. It was almost like a little unhealthy even. And it just continued to get weirder. Like there was times where like it was to the point that he was like clinging to her ankle as she was walking, but like not a toddler phase. Like it just continued to like,
and you're like, please stop.
A little too old. Yeah.
This is creepy.
And at this time, Tyler's medical issues continued as he got older and more things became apparent that he was just having more and more issues. He started having anxiety and depression issues as early as elementary school, which I was shocked when I found that out. I didn't really even know that those were a thing when I was his age, let alone that children, especially in the 90s, were having those issues, or that they were, like, talked about issues.
Yeah, that's definitely not something you hear about all the time, for sure.
Sure, yeah. I was born in 92, so I'm a year older than Tyler. And when I read that, I was like, what was going on in this kid's life? I was forced to be outside. I don't want to, like,
all the time. Yeah, no.
And try to be like, in my childhood. But, like, I literally was outside playing, I don't know, in the woods and shit. I don't know what I did.
Not in the woods. My mom and I were just talking about this when I was a kid. Like, the world was so different. Like, yeah. I would roam the neighborhoods by myself. Like, I would call my mom from my friend's house maybe every couple of hours. Like,
I'm here now. I'm wherever. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I'm here. Whatever. Or, like, I would walk up to the fucking store by myself. Like, we had a store not too far from us, so, like, I would always be up there, and, like, I think about the shit that I did, I'm like, hell no, absolutely not. Hard no.
I don't even like chase to
don't be in the other room.
don't even think about it.
Not going out there, that's the bad place.
Partially a helicopter mom, but, you know, it is okay. What it is. Scary out here in the world.
I accept it. It's hard being a mom in 2020.
Yes,
to say the least.
So, I mean, it's hard being a mom,
period. But yeah,
so so all these issues started happening in addition to the issues he already had, and he started to become withdrawn from his daily life and activities, and he didn't want to play sports any longer, and he was in Boy Scouts and he didn't want to do that any longer. He would quit things that he was doing and he enjoyed. He wasn't showing much interest in life or just anything, really. It almost sounded like he was trying to be interested in things, but he just couldn't keep that act up. He tried to play a bunch of instruments.
That was hello
challenging.
Hello.
And kept quitting and tried new hobbies here and there, and would just give up as quickly as he picked a new one up. Tyler was having a rough time. On top of his anxiety and depression, he had acne and a thyroid condition.
Same.
And self-esteem issues. And he even had a touch of an eating disorder, actually. He had bulimia, I believe it said.
Oh, wow.
Which is all, once again, like, we're still talking, like, middle school at max. Like, he's very young.
Right.
And his parents saw that he was dealing with a lot of stuff. So they took him to see a plethora of doctors. Like, they were like, something is wrong.
Right.
I need the cornucopia of everything.
Of everything. I'm just
trying to put words in there now.
Beef stew.
Yeah. So all this, they were talking about, we briefly mentioned that he had a thyroid issue. And they actually put him on growth hormones at this time.
Whoa.
Mind, he was like middle school-ish, 10, 11, 12-ish.
Middle of fucking, what do they call it? Puberty.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. zero idea. So I wrote in here, I was around 10. So, like, he was literally, like, beginning of middle school.
Wow.
His parents thought that this medicine could help him in multiple ways. It could make him feel better about himself with his self-esteem issues. And he was a short kid and a little chunky. And I was kind of hoping to get him to shoot up a little bit and become an average size child at this time. Like I said, he had the thyroid issue, which made him smaller.
Right.
And his dad and his brother were big dudes. So they were kind of hoping that this would give him the boost that, like, he, in addition to his genetic makeup,
right,
to be the size that they, I guess, anticipated him to be. And it would kind of help with the bullying. So there was obviously bullying. Kids are fucking mean, dude.
Mean as fuck.
So not only, so, oh, one thing that I want to say for the, right here, I didn't write it, but I actually had cousins who had similar issues. They were very small guys. They're still small guys.
Mm-hmm.
And their parents are small too. But I remember them both being put on growth hormones when we were children.
So this was normal.
I was just going to say, I don't know if this was, like, normal or whatever, but I remember it being a thing, and it had effects on their personality and their behavior. And
right.
They just had issues, and they still have like behavioral issues to this day. They're in their 20s. They're like, what, 28? They're like mid 20s. They're probably like 25 and 27 or something. Yeah, they're a few years younger than me, but they're still little dudes, and like they thought it was gonna help them get normal size, but they're still
yeah
wee little babies.
Yeah, but I mean it's not solely for the size, mainly for the
yeah
hormonal
mm-hmm.
issues, so that come along with thyroid issues, which is fucking mm-hmm. great.
So not only did he get made fun of for his appearance, but he was also made fun of for being a mama's boy.
Aww.
He followed her around like a puppy dog. He'd even ask her, like, this is why I said it got weird. He'd even ask her regularly for reassurance and be like, do you love me? Multiple times a day. He would, and she was a loving mom. So it wasn't like.
Right. But that's heartbreaking that he feels the need to have to reassure him.
Sure.
You know, like.
And by all accounts that I read and everything in between, he has a brother, like Ryan, his brother said mm-hmm. that like their mom was very loving and very affectionate. And so was their dad for the most part, very normal sure. childhood. And they made it very apparent, like he was loved and wanted and all those things. But Tyler still needed that reassurance, and he mm-hmm. needed that. So Tyler met his best friend, Michael Mandel, around this time, and he'll play a big role in the part later, but there a lot was going on in his life, but Michael actually seemed like to be the constant good in his life, and sure. they stayed close through high school and everything.
It's fine.
Speed ate chocolate chip cookies before he came down here. He was it's great. 10 out of 10.
That is such a mood. I love it. Same. Mm-hmm. I wish I'm gonna go up and make more of those you know, those packs of cookies that you buy at the grocery store that have like evolved over time, that have like the holiday prints on them, the little sugar cookies. Now they come already edible. I know. Okay, I told Kevin this and I was like, this changes everything. I'm never gonna cook them again. I'm just gonna eat them.
I mean, I've never cooked them. Like
I've continued to eat them, but yeah. I mean, now that I can do it, know that I can, even though I did it before. I'd probably still do it even if I could.
I actually ate a whole thing within like the last like week and a half. I just buy them and I keep them in the fridge.
I'm literally going to do that because that is so dangerous and I love it. But I will cook half because I like the warmness of the cookies, but then I'll just eat the other half.
0 out of 10. Nope. I don't even fuck with it.
Oh, but they're so good when they're cooked.
I remember when I was pregnant for Chase, that's like what I wanted to eat half the time. And Chris kept being like, can you stop eating raw cookie?
No, absolutely not.
Pregnant with my child inside of you. And I was like, whoa, mind your business.
Excuse me. I ate sushi with both my pregnancies, and I got sub sandwiches like on the regular.
I was just gonna say, I ate sandwiches regularly. So I had gestational diabetes, so I needed something that had like a good amount of carbs,
right,
and a good amount of protein, and like healthy things. So like sandwiches I found were like the perfect mixture.
Perfect, right, exactly.
Yeah. So
anyways,
we're not going to talk about food. So Tyler was a sweet kid, like I said, but as he got older, he started to be a smart mouth to adults and just people in general, but even to his mom. And I'm curious if this has to do with the medicine he was on, because like I said, the people that my cousins that I knew were on it, they had an issue with behavioral issues as well. So I'm not sure if it ties to that. That's just kind of where my brain went. Around this time, he started, it escalated to not just being a smartass. It escalated to vandalism. So, and it wasn't just stupid kid shit. It was damaging cars, stealing things, breaking windows, setting things on fire. Big things.
A little bit.
Around this time, middle schoolish, Tyler started to self-medicate. So he's about 12-ish. I say ish a lot. Around this time. And he started drinking. And his drinking wasn't just, I went to a party and like, they have a shot left and we all took a sip of it and pretending to be drunk. It was, he was getting shit-faced and drinking a lot at this time. Especially for a 12-year-old, which is...
That's a lot. I don't even think that I touched alcohol.
Yeah. I mean, like, I went to a few parties a few times. My parents would be like, you want to drink? I'd be like, yeah. And then I'd take a sip and be like, this is fucking gross. That's,
why do you keep drinking this?
Thanks, no thanks.
All pass. Thank you.
So, at some point in middle school, he actually started smoking pot. And his destructive behavior increased. Tyler was described as bizarre and just weird, dude. So Tyler actually, as a kid, was setting small fires and stuff that was included in his destructive behavior. But apparently him and some friends accidentally, and I'm using air quotes or whatever, they pretty much set some woods on fire in Florida as children. So Hello? This was around that time. Yeah. I think it was like 11 or 12-ish that him and his friends set some woods on fire. And I'm pretty sure it was like a wildlife preserve thing. I don't remember what the fuck it's called, but it was not a good, it was not a good.
It's not good.
Ow.
Hello, sir.
Look at Cash is being pleasant and Bane just bit me. What is this? Did we switch cats? Look at Cash. What's such a, he's a bully. Uh-oh, here we go. Yeah. So beautiful. Okay, so Tyler and his actions became more bizarre. Apparently he was that kid that made noises in class randomly when everything was like all quiet, and he would like make animal noises to get attention just like in the wrong way. Oh. Like, people were like, he'd just moo in class randomly. And I'm like, oh, he was that
kid. Oh, you're that kid. No.
Cool.
So, I was school once with a kid who jacked off in class once.
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm. It was really great.
He a sex offender now? Because like,
probably, like, honestly. I don't even remember his name. That's it. It's also a serial killer, but you know.
Awesome. Like, great. Awesome.
I was never mean to him, so at least I think I'm safe.
Yeah, dude. So Tyler started skipping school and his grades began to fall. Not much goes on there in Port St. Lucie. So like, I just imagine like school and everything is just whatever. But I did see everywhere like a shit ton of pot is grown there. So like, if you want to grow some pot, go to Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Well, you know a lot of pot is actually grown in California.
Well, yeah.
Well, it has been just I think more in the northern part of California there. I think because that was one of the first states to legalize it recreationally. Mm-hmm. Colorado, too. But a lot of weed is grown in California. There's, like, shows about it, too.
Yeah.
It's wild.
So hopefully they're cool, they're good with the wildfires, you know. Thinking of you, California.
I wanna go.
Go fight the fires.
I'm gonna go fight the fires.
I volunteer as tribute.
I was gonna say that. I will go.
So we have to think about this time though. This was early 2000s-ish, you know, when pot was not a... is
taboo.
It was more of a taboo thing then. Also, mm-hmm. Like, let's think about Florida. So I have family in Florida, and even there it's still super criminalized, and like, mm-hmm. you could go to jail for some fucking resin in a pipe,
some bullshit, honestly.
Yeah. For legal purposes, I do not smoke pot.
Really?
I work for important people, guys.
So let me just put that out there that I'm not
a reefer smoker. I just know things.
I'll be your resident pothead. It's cool.
I am not the one any longer.
It's me. I am the resident.
That's Taylor. Taylor is.
That's me. It's Taylor.
Not Amanda.
It's legal where I'm at, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Even fuck my job.
With who I work for. Not legal.
Not fuck Amanda's job.
You guys could put that together. anyway, so Yeah, apparently it's a crap ton of pot grown there. So smoking pot there was kind of normalized at an early age as well. Growing up in Vermont, same. Everyone started noticing Tyler was drinking and using drugs, and it was kind of getting serious. But sadly, his parents kind of turned a blind eye to this and hoped it would kind of just go away on its own. Just kind of be like, oh, this is just a kid doing kid things.
Word to the wise, don't do that. Not good.
No, that's not how things go away.
Actually, no.
Oh, shit.
I know. Shocker.
Good.
Good.
So, with that being said, they realized that it wasn't getting better after a little while. So they started taking a little bit of his freedoms away. And that's kind of how they hoped that things would fix itself as well. However, every time they tried to punish Tyler or take things away, his actions became worse. And he would act out even more. So his mom was doing, like, she was being fucking extra, man. She was checking on him and making sure he was getting to school daily, like calling the school and
tracking. She's also up his ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To return. So she realized that the opposite effect, or the opposite action, was not working. So, like, let me just go total 180 and 360, 180.
So you decided to be a parent.
Yeah. Some other numbers. Whatever way, the opposite, and do whatever. So
I think it's 180.
Yeah, whatever it is. 360, 180. I don't know.
360 is
all the way around.
All the way around.
180.
180 is only half.
So she did a 180. God.
Yes.
Who am I? Who gave me?
Who allowed you to do this?
Who let me be a mom, dude? Just wait till he goes to school. Oh, okay.
He's fucked. Same.
Not in advance, dude. So, yeah, she was tracking his GPS on his phone and everything. And let's fast forward to April 2011. So he was, like, 17 at the time. Tyler was 17. He was at a friend's house and actually ended up getting into some sort of fight with someone. And he was actually arrested and charged with aggressive battery. And this was on his criminal record in addition to a burglary charge from a few years before that. The criminal justice system wasn't anything new to Tyler. So, unfortunately, this was a thing for him. He was sentenced to actually a week in jail and then 2 weeks on house arrest after he was released. So, obviously, his parents were pissed. Same. My parents would beat me.
Beat me the fuck into never. Into my grave.
Throw some fucking bones. Anyway. So they took his phone away, and of course he, in true 2011 fashion, he went to Facebook and started using Messenger instead.
Same.
At this time, his anger was building up for taking his stuff away and just being parents and trying to punish him. And he started telling everyone that he hated his parents and that he wanted to kill them. Because apparently
That's not an appropriate response.
Appropriate response for taking the phone that they pay away. Anyway, he even actually wanted to kill himself as well. So he told people that as well. So he was like, I want to kill myself. I want to kill my parents. And he told a bunch of people this. It wasn't just like one or two people. And they didn't believe him, or they didn't actually think that anything would ever come from it. So now we're in June 2011. Ryan, Tyler's older brother, actually moved out and went to North Carolina. So it was just Mary Jo, Blake, and Tyler. Mary Jo and Blake admitted Tyler around this time to a substance abuse program at the end of June, beginning of July. And Tyler was pissed and was enraged. So I do want to say it wasn't just pot and a lot of alcohol at this point. He was popping pills regularly. And
wow. I was going to ask. Yeah.
So it was ecstasy, Xanax, painkiller. This was like 2011. So I remember I graduated in 2010. So right around this time, I remember a bunch of kids were just doing prescription painkillers.
Yep.
This was before heroin was a huge thing, but they were doing it at parties and It was like nothing, you know?
I don't know why that was ever cool. I graduated in 2012 and
maybe it was a Vermont thing. I don't know. I mean,
No. That was happening. I just don't know why that was a thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was super like nonchalant too, almost. They were like, oh yeah, we're just gonna smoke some oxys or snort them. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? Those make me puke when I had to take them for my broken leg.
I'm gonna go. Like, no, I'll be like, no. No, thank you.
Call my mom.
Mom, can you go pick me up?
They're trying to make me smoke this. It's not pot. I don't know what to do. Anyway.
I don't want thanks. It.
So Tyler wasn't pissed. I was trying to say enraged and pissed at the same time. He wasn't pissed. And he felt betrayed and he was resentful. But he was able to actually convince his parents that he was getting better and that he was done drugs and was just not going to do it any longer. I can't tell if his parents were actually delusional or if he really just put it.
Well, I feel like it's some sort of like, you don't want to think that there's something wrong with the kid. You know
what I mean? Yeah, I can't tell if they were delusional or if he just put on a really good show kind of thing. His mom actually even went around telling family and friends that he was a new kid and completely changed, and we were pretty much turning over a new leaf at this point. So at this time, his feelings of hurting his parents just were increasing regularly. There was so many text and or Facebook messages and just trails through both of him telling so many people that his parents needed to die or that he was going to kill them over simple things like taking his phone away or sending him to a treatment program when he was addicted to drugs.
Okay, but also his parents not reading his Facebook. I don't know if it was maybe just me, but if I had social media when I was living with my parents, they were reading my shit.
Oh, for sure. And I thought I was a dumb bitch thinking they weren't reading.
Same.
They were. I don't know. Apparently not. I feel like his parents were a little naive, and I hate saying that because they are the victims in this situation.
Oh, definitely. But I mean, still.
It just sounds like it. I couldn't super find that they were reading his stuff. So the day before the murder, Tyler actually started hiding things that he could kill his parents with in his room. A hammer, knives, lawn trimming tools like shears. And on July 15th, 2011, the day before the actual murder, Tyler met with his therapist, and his therapist reported that he showed no signs of violence or said anything that would have made them concerned to harm himself or anyone else. But later that night, he actually attempted to kill his parents for the first time. Well, he thought about it, rather. He brought the hedge trimming shears into his parents' room where they were sleeping. And he kind of just stood there and he wanted to stab them with the shears, but he couldn't get himself to do it. So
maybe he just shouldn't have done it at all.
He failed, obviously, that night.
Should have failed again.
So after the failed attempt the next day, he decided it had to happen that day. So this is July 16th, 2011. His parents went to a farmer's market that morning to get some farmer's market stuff, vegetables and whatnot. I love farmer's markets.
It's my favorite.
They have like this huge flea market, farmer's market thing near my parents' house in Florida. The best fresh fruit with like tahini and
so good.
Laura, send me some. I'm sure it'll keep overnight. And yeah, anyway.
Definitely.
So it'll be great. So while his parents were out, he was talking to people on Facebook and telling them that he was gonna kill his parents and then throw like the party of the year. This was the plan. Hate these fucking kids. Some of his friends were actually encouraging it and almost saying like he had to do it this time. Like he was very open and honest about like how he was gonna kill his parents and whatever. And the parents were, the friends were like, oh, you have to, dude. Or like, yeah, like, can't wait for the party. Just gotta get this over with.
That's like that girl who encouraged her boyfriend to kill himself. Like, and I'm like, y'all can't just be doing, like, you realize that there are repercussions for your actions.
Dude. I'm jumping ahead here, but there was like interviews and stuff of people who were at this party and or like people who were reporting the crime afterwards. And one girl was like, it's not really an emergency, but like this guy said he killed his parents and we were at the house. That's not an emergency? Like
I think that's an emergency.
What is an emergency to you? I am
fuck.
Raised you.
Ooh.
Tell you what 911 is. Like, what is going on here?
I'm not sure that this is an emergency. I'm gonna start saying that for everything.
They're dead, so
I mean, it's not like you could do anything.
Like, you don't gotta rush.
I guess I can kind of understand where her brain was at. Like there's no saving these people if they're actually dead. Like, I feel like her thought process was there, but it was not well executed.
Gosh, I don't. Anyway. So yeah, his friends were like, yeah, dude, like, you gotta do it or whatever. And I just don't understand how some of these people could think that this was okay or funny. Like, whether they thought this was gonna be a real thing or not, like, how can you encourage this? It's just odd to me. Don't understand. I'm trying to mute myself every time I sniff.
That's fine.
Doing really well.
I'm proud
being
of you.
Very conscious. I also haven't sniffed cocaine in 5 hours. So. Just kidding. I don't sniff anything.
Hello, my job.
Yes, for legal purposes.
Anyway, have to do that.
I just, it's a weird like tick habit thing that I do. And I hate it about myself. So around 11:30 a.m., Tyler texted a friend telling him that his parents would be gone later. Tyler even told his best friend, Michael, that he was going to kill his parents. But I didn't mean to laugh. But Michael reports that he didn't take him seriously because he had said these things before and it didn't seem like he could actually do it.
And that's a hard thing. It's kind of like the boy who cried wolf. Like,
yeah,
you know, I'm going to kill my parents. And how many times, like, obviously the situation is very, very different considering the clear instability of this boy. What the fuck was that?
I have no idea. I'm just going to pretend like I didn't hear it.
Okay. All right.
My son is sleeping and my husband is either seizing on the floor or dropping things. Don't super know. We'll find out later.
Well, Chris, I hope for the best.
Godspeed, my dude.
I don't even know what the fuck I was saying.
That he was pretty much the boy that cried wolf.
I don't know how many times like we've said, oh, I'm going to kill them. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to do, you know what I mean? But again, with the clear instability of this kid, it should have been taken serious.
So mine is when someone is an asshole when they're driving. I'm always like, I hope you crash your car. And everyone's like, you should not say that. And I was like, well,
I did. So
sucks to suck.
Yeah, you should not say that. That's so bad.
So, yeah. I mean, whatever. Anyway. So at 1:15 p.m., Tyler posts on Facebook, party at my crib tonight, .. maybe. But he was telling people all week at school that, like, he was actually going to have a party that night. Or that weekend, rather. And the issue with this is that Tyler wasn't a super popular kid, though. Like, he was fucking weird, man.
I was going to ask, what friends does he have?
However, like, think about high school. I mean, like, I remember being at parties with people and like just random people showing up, just like whether you talk Definitely. To them or not. They're like, yo, this party, there's booze, whatever, you know?
Yeah. So I mean, I imagine that happening. I don't think I've ever gone to a party at high school. I don't think I ever went to one.
It's funny. I never drank or partied, but like I went to parties all the time.
Yeah, I never did. But I was also that kid that was not very popular. I didn't talk to anybody. I was fine just going home and going to sleep. Like,
so in high school, I actually was friends with like older people. So I think okay. that's probably why I never really partied with like people from my high school. Because we won't go there. So June 16th, 2011, at the family's home in Port St. Lucie, Florida, around 5 p.m., Tyler, so at some point his parents came home from the farmer's market. So around 5 p.m., Tyler took and hid his parents' cell phones and credit cards so they couldn't find them. Premeditation.
Hello?
Terrifying. He popped about 3 ecstasy pills and reportedly listened to some rap music to hype him up. My husband's seizing up there. Do you hear it?
I mean, are you good, Chris? Like,
no. Anyway.
Best of luck.
So, not long after, he went and found his mother, Mary Jo, who was on the family computer. And he stood behind her for about 5 minutes, he said, before he started beating her to death with a hammer.
He just stood behind her?
Yeah.
Did she? I'm curious if this she ever turned around. Because I am so weird about, like, my back being to anything. I'm always, like,
never want to turn my back to anyone, especially my children.
Literally trust no one.
Yo, I was writing this and I was, like, looking at Chase. I was like, you?
Fuck them kids.
In your lane, my dude. Like, I'm not the one.
Not today, Satan. Not today.
So, Mary Jo actually was hit about 37 times, and it's estimated that she felt and saw all of these blows, and she actually died after the fact.
Probably like blood loss or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's horrible. Mary Jo
attempted to like crawl away after the attack was done, but she did succumb to her injuries. I didn't super find anything on the autopsy.
Mm-hmm.
2011. I also didn't put much intentional energy trying to find her autopsy, so
number one podcaster right here.
We all know I'm transparent with that stuff, so if you find it, let me know. So Mary Jo, I'm sorry guys, I get so parched during this podcast, so like I have to drink throughout. I don't know how other podcasters don't, maybe they just edit it out, but
I edit it out when I edit it.
I edited mine too, but like when you've been doing the editing, I'm like, well,
hope for the best.
Whatever Taylor does.
No, so, I edited it out.
Perfect. So Mary Jo is obviously screaming.
Yeah.
Getting beat with a hammer.
I would think so.
So this obviously prompted Blake to come out and see what was happening. He made his way to where he heard her when he was coming from the bedroom. And this is when he saw what was happening. Tyler said that they had a little stare down for a little while before anyone really like did anything. Blake was in shock, obviously, and he didn't know what to do. So Blake attempted to run, but his reaction time was delayed because, like I said, he was in shock. And before he could really do anything or run anywhere, Tyler already started attacking him.
Well, and I always think like, when I hear about these things, like watch movies or whatever, I'm like, oh, I would just run. And I'm like, I really don't think that I would, like, because of shock. Is my husband seizing upstairs also?
It's fine.
It's fine.
We're just going to get married and
raise it's our fine. Kids as
one.
It's
cool. He's husbands. So I'll talk about this in a second. Let's touch on that in a second.
Okay.
So Tyler said both his parents actually kept yelling, like, why? Like, why are you doing this?
Right.
He said that he responded to Blake and said, why the fuck not?
Hello?
I want to mention that, like, Blake was a big guy. I mean, like, we kind of already talked about that. Like, Blake was, like, I think it was over 6'2", like, pushing 300, like, 280-ish, 300. Like, big dude. And he attempted to fight, and Blake's autopsy, it showed that he had multiple broken bones, broken legs, arms, broken nose, and he took over about 39 hits from the hammer as well. So he used both sides of the hammer as well. I want to say that, like, it wasn't just the claw end or the flat end.
Mm-hmm.
He used both sides, and they were mostly in the head and torso area. Each attack took less than a minute. So that's what I wanted to talk about, is like, everyone wants to think like, oh, I would run or I would go wherever. Like, it happened in
so fast
seconds, right. Literally, like, he's just sitting there swinging and swinging. So with a broken leg, broken arms, like broken nose, like I can't. He was trying to fight back, and he was a much bigger dude than Tyler. And
hammers are obviously not easy. Yeah. So
I just couldn't imagine. Mm-hmm. So Tyler took roughly 3 hours to clean up the blood in the home. And apparently this was longer than expected. For some reason, he thought it was like going to be a quick thing. I don't know.
Hammers are messy on top of it. If you should have planned better.
Right. So he put his parents' bodies in the master bedroom face down next to each other. He placed the hammer between them and actually covered their heads with towels. After that, he threw everything he could find on top of their bodies, which I found really odd. He put dining room chairs, books, mirrors, bedding, like the contents of a filing cabinet, documents, everything throughout the house that he could find, and just threw it on top of them. And then he locked the door. He also like threw all the bloody stuff in there as well. So stuff he used to clean up the house.
Oh.
If you would have looked in the room just like at a glance, you wouldn't actually have seen the bodies at first. It would have. So I listened to another podcast and they said it almost looked like a hoarding scene, which like okay. I had pictures and we'll post them. And that's kind of what it looked like. It was very just shit. The other thing is he did not do a good job cleaning up blood and the brain matter and everything else. It's a hard thing to do. And he didn't.
Professionals struggle with that. Like,
yeah. And he's a 17-year-old kid. So after he was done cleaning, he took a shower and took his parents' car and money and ATM cards and had a friend go buy alcohol. He posted on Facebook that he was having a party that night. So he went to that ATM, like I said, and took as much money out as he could. I think somewhere said that he had about $5,000 in cash or so.
This between is where like they taking have the withdrawal cash limits because of you.
Yeah. So that was between like the cash he took from his parents that they had on them and what he took from the ATM. So, and then the party started and there was drugs and drinking and beer pong and cigars and like everything you could think of. There was at least 60 people there throughout the night. Like there was a keg, like everything. I don't know where you get a keg at such short notice, but you know.
You can get them pretty easily here. Liquor stores.
So at first, when the party was kind of just picking up, he was trying to get people to respect the house. Go smoke outside, anything like that. But towards the end, like, anything was going. He didn't care. Yeah. Whatever you're going to do, like, put cigarettes out on the floor. The house was a mess. There's pictures online. But it was, people were just making food that was in the house. Like, macaroni and cheese was on the stuff. Like,
I'm sorry, who raised you?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, there was, like, blood all over, too, because, like, he didn't do a great job cleaning it up. Apparently, like, this makes me want to vomit. Apparently, like, people saw, like, the blood at this point. Like, it's 4 hours, whatever, since they. So the blood is not, like, red anymore. It's, like, a dark,
brown,
black, sticky substance. Apparently, some people were playing Pong, and the ball rolled into the blood at one point, so they just, like, washed it off and continued to play with it.
No! Beer Pong's already dirty as fuck as it is. Okay, yeah. I'm gonna get the pictures.
So, some people actually at the party asked where
he did not do a very good job cleaning up.
Absolutely not. So, some people at the party actually asked, like, where his parents were, and this was multiple people, and he told everyone a different story. He said that they were in Orlando taking a weekend trip, or he even told some people, like, he lived alone and this was his house. So, his stories were different every time.
And I'm sorry, I'm looking at the pictures, and whose room was this?
This where is they?
Bad. This is.
That's a master bedroom. That's where. That's
the so they were hoarders.
There. No.
Did he just trash it?
Yeah. So he killed them. He put them in the master and then threw everything he could on top of it. The bodies are under there.
What the fuck?
Yeah. That's actually one of the pictures we're going to post. So no one noticed that his parents' cars were actually in the driveway. So at 10:30, Tyler took his father's car out to go get more booze and pick up some more friends, including his best friend, Michael Mandel, that we talked about earlier. Michael said that he was acting normal, like nothing had happened. A lot of people later reported that they saw a dark, sticky substance throughout the home. And some people saw a pool or a black seeping substance from the locked master bedroom, but no one really like thought anything of it. The other thing is like the master bedroom was locked. So everyone kind of assumed like someone was in there having sex or like doing whatever. And it is what it is. Oh, apparently someone asked Tyler at some point like what the house rules were or like what was whatever. And Tyler said there wasn't really any, just like don't do anything stupid to get the cops called. He didn't really care. So early morning, Tyler pulled Michael aside, his best friend, mm-hmm. and confessed what happened to him. And he gave him details. And at first he didn't believe Tyler. So Michael actually went on interview and stuff and like was talking about it and whatnot. But he didn't believe Tyler. He was like, this is a stupid joke, like whatever. But then Tyler showed him all the signs. They were outside and he was like, look at the driveway. Like both my parents' cars are right there. And then he showed him a bloody shoe print in the garage. And the blood splatter in the home. There was grout that was bloody still. Like, you can't clean that up.
Right.
And he still was, like, skeptical. So.
Sure, because, I mean, at that age, you're probably thinking your friend's playing a dumbass trick on you.
So Tyler brought him into the master bedroom. He forced his way in there. And as soon as he opened the door, he said he saw his dad's leg under all this stuff. And that's when he knew that he had killed his parents. So Michael obviously knew at this point that he killed his parents. What do you think his first reaction would be? Question.
I gotta go.
So he decided to stay a little while longer.
Well, honestly, like, I can see that being a reaction, though, too, to be like, okay, well, I can't leave now. Like, he's probably going to, like,
suspect don't want to kill me. Something.
Right, exactly. I gotta just play, like, I'm in school.
So he stayed a little while longer. This was Tyler's best friend. He said he wanted to enjoy whatever time he had left together. He said that him and there was like this ominous feeling where like him and Tyler knew this was going to be the last time they saw each other. They took a selfie together, which was on the internet. I'm not going to post it. It's like a weird, pathetic 2011 selfie where like Tyler's looking all like puppy dog, like it's just
I see it now.
Yeah. So. They were kind of just trying to enjoy that time together. Tyler said he knew that he was either going to jail or he was going to kill himself. So he wanted to enjoy his last night. Tyler actually told more than one person that he killed his parents. So Michael wasn't the only person. I guess he told one of the older guys that was buying them booze that he killed his parents. And the guy was like, nah, dude, that's your business. Don't bring me in. Like,
Gotta go.
Didn't hear that. So, although he told multiple people, I think Michael was the only one that he showed the bodies to.
Mm-hmm.
Around 2 a.m., a neighbor actually called the cops. The party was dying down at this point, but they were, like, sick of it. They did a noise complaint, and the cops showed up. They rang the doorbell, and Tyler hid all of his friends in his bedroom and delayed answering the door. And the cops asked him to turn the music down, and he was like, all right. And then they left.
There's two bodies there, sir. Michael's probably in the back like, hey, help me.
So not long after 2:30, 3 o'clock, Michael actually was leaving. He said he hid about 10 Percocets that he knew about away from Tyler because he thought he was going to try to use them to kill himself in an attempt to overdose. I think he hid them in like a closet there. It's not like he took them. I would have like flushed them.
Hello?
And so around 4:24 a.m., Michael anonymously reports Tyler to Crime Stoppers. Apparently you get paid for tips to Crime Stoppers. So a lot of people were like, very interesting that he didn't just call the cops.
I was going to say, why don't you just call 911? That's an emergency. Hello.
So he called, he did an anonymous tip to Crime Stoppers. At 4:32 a.m., the cops are notified that this tip came in and whatnot. So 4:40, Tyler posts on Facebook, party at my place again tonight, hit me up. So he was planning on having another party at his house. But by this time,
he was going to ride the wave as long as he could.
Yeah. So at this point, actually, police were already outside of his home. And they were watching him. Tyler was talking to himself, pacing. Was clearly not in a good mental state. The cop said, like, he was obviously on drugs or whatever. And he was trying to deal internally with his actions. He was taking handfuls of books off a bookshelf and, like, bringing them into another room. So they could look into the home from the front. They couldn't see where he was bringing the homes, but he was putting them on top of his parents' body. So he was taking more books and just throwing it on his parents' body. So the cops finally knocked on the door, and Tyler turned off the lights and tried to pull the same thing as earlier and, like, turn music down or whatever, and took a few moments to answer the door. When he finally answered the door, Tyler, being an idiot that he is, actually kept his hands so the police couldn't see them. So the officers almost instantly, like, pulled the gun and said, like, get out here, like, this is not a safe situation. So they asked Tyler if his parents were home, and Tyler said no. But the cops had already ran the license plates that were in the driveway. And that was Blake's car, Mary Jo's car, and then Tyler's car.
Yeah.
So those were the three vehicles that were there. So officers at this point cuffed Tyler, and they started to go in the home. And when they started walking towards the master bedroom, Tyler freaked out. He was, like, yelling and screaming and said, like, you can't go in there. Don't go in there. And as soon as they were in the house, they started to see the blood throughout the home. So they forced the master door open, and they see the pile of shit. And then instantly, although you don't see the bodies, you see the leg of Blake.
Right.
So they get to the bodies, and they see that there's no pulse, and they're both clearly dead. So they arrest him, and they're processing a scene. They find the two family dogs. One was locked in a closet,
and Jesus.
That was a black lab, and then the other one, which I think was like a beagle mix or whatever, who was partially deaf, oh my god, was hiding under a bed. I'm like, who are these kids? Like, who raised you?
They don't know. The pups know, I know. Though.
So thankfully they're alive.
And yeah, I was gonna say.
They lived.
Sorry.
So the officers actually, it took forensic investigators and officers 5 days in total to process the scene.
Yeah.
About 1,000 people made it to the funeral of Mary Jo and Blake. That's a lot of people. So Tyler ended up pleading no contest. Tyler's defense tried to play up his age, and the prosecution ended up winning and said, like, he was 17 years old. Like, he knew
what he was
3-4 months shy of 18. He knew what he was doing. Like, he brutally murdered his parents. So the prosecution won, and he was sentenced to 2 consecutive life sentences. While in prison, he was actually doing dumb, stupid kid shit still. He was smoking pot in there, making shanks, and this fucking makes me sick. He was signing autographs for people as it's hammer time.
I hate him.
I hate him. His mugshot looks very, like...
Yeah, I saw that. He's got a stupid face.
Like a smut. Even people in jail were calling him, like, Hambo, as in, like, Hammer Rambo. I don't know who came up with that nickname, but, like, you're
dumb too.
So, in 2012, so this was 2011, because this is when the crime happened and whatever, and that's when he was sentenced. 2012, Supreme Court made a ruling barring mandatory life sentences for minors. So, that made state judges responsible for resentencing juveniles who were sentenced to life while they were minors.
Right.
So Tyler had a resentencing hearing in 2014. It was March 2014, and the judge pretty much maintained his sentence. They upheld it. It was the same sentence. He was sentenced again to 2 concurrent life sentences. He was like, you were old enough. It was very heinous. It was very brutal. There was a trail of you talking about doing this. It was very premeditated.
Right.
So Tyler actually had another hearing in 2018. I think it was an appeal. It didn't super say, but I don't know why he would keep having these if it wasn't an appeal. And there was actually a new mental health professional that testified. He testified that Tyler was severely depressed, and this is why he was doing the things that he did. But it was determined that he still had two life sentences, and it is what it is.
Yeah, he does. I don't think that, like, he deserves to not.
So once in jail, Tyler did see a psychologist, and he told them that these thoughts of murder started like a passing thought, almost was like very just like popped in his brain kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't really think anything of it, but then like it wouldn't, like, then he would start thinking, like, wouldn't it be better if my parents were dead? Or it wouldn't just be like, oh, I should kill them, or like, I wish they weren't here. It would be like, well, everything would be better if they were dead. I wish that they were dead, or whatever. So these thoughts were obviously more demanding and more frequent and increased. And it became an obsession for him. He thought about it all day, every day. So that's Tyler Hadley. Ryan Hadley, his brother, actually ended up writing a book, and it's called 1,000 Fireflies. It's a co-written book with a friend, and it talks about his path into life again, I guess. Like, he was in a really, it talks about his, like, his journey with grief and everything, and finding a good place and how it affected him. Apparently he's visited his brother in jail, and he said that, like, his parents wouldn't want them to give up on him. So I couldn't find much about their relationship and whatnot.
I mean, I disagree, but because clearly it's not like he has any remorse for his actions. You know what I mean? Like, it's not.
So there's videos now who he's like, oh, I can't not think about it. Like, I feel so bad.
I hope you have to think about it for the rest of your life and every life afterwards.
Don't feel bad for you.
So.
So in a little bit, I didn't talk much about Mary Jo and Blake. I couldn't find a boatload, but a little bit about them. That's what I want to close with, is the positives about them and who they were as people. Mary Jo was a teacher for 24 years, and she was super dedicated and loved teaching and loved her kids, and she enjoyed it. She was 47 when she passed away. And Blake was 54, and he was a nuclear power plant worker. He was actually an engineer there, and he did that for at least 30 years. And he was super reliable and dependable, and people had nothing but good things to say about them. And they were loving parents, and they did everything that they should have done. Obviously, as parents, we all kind of look back on things and can think the what if or whatever.
Right,
but,
right.
They were doing the best they could, and they loved their boys wholeheartedly. Even in their death, like, they just wanted to know why. And obviously, they didn't want to die, but I think it really showed compassion in their death. It wasn't like, it didn't seem like anger. It almost seemed like they just want to understand,
like, okay, if you're gonna do this, whatever, but why?
I don't know if that makes sense.
No, I think I understand it.
It just
to an extent anyways,
and I just they just sounded very loving. And
what about his friend?
So his friend was actually the one that turned him in. I mean, like, he did a bunch of interviews and whatnot, but that's really all I knew. He was like, I mean, I didn't think anything of it, and then
sure.
I knew I had to turn him in. He said that he knew instantly that he had to turn him in, but he didn't. He just wanted to enjoy time with his friend. Taylor, what? I would hide a body for you.
I wouldn't. I'd be like, bitch, what? I don't want to go to jail too.
Nah. Fine.
I don't make a good lesbian.
There are three people in this world I would hide a body for, and you are one of them.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I can't say the same.
Oh, it's fine. I don't expect that from anyone else. I wouldn't ask anyone, because that's just,
I had a body, like, for my kids though. I can say that. Maybe.
Oh, heck yeah.
Maybe. It's still questionable.
So I mean, like, I wouldn't
but I also really don't want to die.
I was just gonna say, I wouldn't tell anyone. I wouldn't bring anyone in, because I feel like the more people I tell, the more likely I am to.
I would not hide a body for you, but I would keep your secret.
See, I just feel like the more people that know, I wouldn't tell anyone. unless they physically need help, like for some reason, like
I physically cannot bury this on my own.
Yeah, like if there is some reason that I am unable to do it, and I'm telling one person, and that is my husband, because we have spousal privileges.
Exactly. He cannot testify against me.
And he's strong.
That too.
I've already thought about it. But, you know, and that's only if I need to. Like, I don't want to tell him. He has a bigger conscience
at all. Than
me, so, yeah, so.
Same. That's my problem.
Such a good person. Yeah, so that is the Hadley family.
That's wild. I hope
bad, bad things happen to Ryan Hadley. He does not deserve good things.
Ryan?
Ryan. Not Ryan. Tyler.
Ryan, I was like, why? What happened to Ryan? I thought we liked Ryan.
We do like Ryan. Although, like, I haven't read his book, and, like, I'm sure it's fine, but I almost feel like he's getting a little clout off his parents' death. Definitely. He apparently sued. So I just vaguely read this art, like, skimmed through this article, so I wasn't going to include it. But he, like, sued his brother to get nothing from their life insurance and stuff, because he actually was the one. So they were both listed as the
beneficiaries.
The beneficiaries. And so he ended up civilly suing his brother. So, like, he couldn't get. I just read the article that he was civilly suing him. I didn't see a ruling on it. And
I don't think legally he would have been able to get anything anyways.
I would hope not, but
right, I mean, I
didn't see that, so
that's good on you, Ryan. Nuts.
He deserves nothing.
Nothing. Ryan deserves everything. Tyler, yes, deserves nothing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, thanks for hanging out with
thanks
us.
Y'all don't throw any parties like this. Don't do don't drugs. Don't
tell your parents.
Don't tell your parents, man.
It's not cool. Even though we talk about these, we just don't want to talk about them again.
Yeah. Also, it makes me terrified of my child. Like, makes me look at him like,
fuck them kids.
What are you thinking about, my dude?
Just so you know, I love you. I won't have you committed. All right.
I will commit that motherfucker.
I will commit the fuck out of you and run away.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye. We hope you join us every Monday for our weekly episode. And as an added bonus, we've deemed the first Sunday of every month as Serial Killer Sunday. So you can look forward to an extra long episode about our favorite serial killers once a month.
Go follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Naptime Investigations or Twitter at Naptime _podcast. If you want us to cover one of your favorite cases, please send your case suggestions to naptimeinvestigations@gmail.com or via the case suggestion link in our Instagram bio.
As always, we hope you enjoyed this episode, and thanks for joining this party.